like to preach on faith and that kind of thing, but it seems like the last couple of weeks that when I pray and I ask God, what do you want? God, these are your people. You know what they're doing. You know what they need. What do you want? And I tell him, Jesus, you're the chief shepherd, and I'm just the under shepherd. So what do you want me to say? And this was what is on my heart this morning. And it may not make you want to run and shout, but you know what? It's the word of God. And see, there'll come a day, I've said it to you before, when I will stand before God and give an account for what I tell you. And so sometimes I have to tell you the hard things. But they will help you to grow in the Lord. Mark 6:30-44 is one of these miracles. And like I said, you know, they ended up singing about a miracle, and this is wonderful. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things hath both that, I better not read that one, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having the shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves some bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. Smack. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, five loaves and two fish. And he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks of hundreds and fifties, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the two fish he divided among them all. So they were all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. And you know that where there's men, there's women. And where there's women, there's children. So I don't know what the final count was on that, but would not you say that that was an amazing miracle? I mean, come on, think about it. When we have a dinner here, and sometimes we'll feed at least 100, it takes a lot of food to feed 100 people. Ask Gilbert. Where's Gilbert? Isn't that true, Gilbert? Yes. That's a lot of chicken we order, right? See, if Jesus was here, he'd probably be blessing our chicken, you know, and everything, because we don't do fish. But anyway, I don't do fish. If you ever want to ask me out to dinner, don't make me eat fish. I don't like that. It smells funny. We feed 100 people. That's a lot of food. Can you imagine having five loaves of bread and two fish and breaking it and feeding at least 5,000? 5,000 people? What does that even look like? When's the last time you've seen 5,000 people? Maybe a Times Square? I don't know. When they drop the ball? I don't know how many people that is, but can you imagine feeding that bunch? So, but then we see right after Jesus had fed the 5,000, he put his disciples in a boat and sent them across the Sea of Galilee. Then Jesus sent a crowd away and went up on a mountain to pray. And during the night, a storm rose up on the sea, and Jesus could see the disciples out there, and they were struggling in their boat against the wind and the waves. So here we go with the storm. This is Storm Sunday. And Jesus walked across the water, climbed into the boat, and commanded the storm to be still. But I want you to look at Mark 6:51-52. Now, here's where we get to the crux of the sermon. It says, I want you to look at the description of the disciples. Now, they had just helped feed the 5,000, right? They broke the bread. They passed it out. But now they have been through a storm. They're in the middle of a storm. It says, they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not. What did they not consider? The miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. What? How can this be? They just watched Jesus feed the 5,000, didn't they? They just were part of a miracle. But now they're in the middle of a storm and they are not considering what they just saw. And the Bible says their hearts were hardened. Son, I'm telling you what, right there, that is something we need to think about, because they walked with Jesus. They just saw a miracle, but the Bible says their hearts were hardened. Isn't that what the Bible says? How do you think it's possible that we, living in this day and age, that even though we come to church and we see miracles and we do all the right things, is it possible that our hearts could be hardened in certain areas? We need to be careful, because I'm telling you, and I'll say it again later, Jesus is coming. Now is not the day. I was talking to someone just recently, someone that used to come to this church, and now they have moved away, a little bit out of the way, and they're having a hard time getting back to church. And I said to them, I said, are you going to church? They said, well, now and then, when I can. And I said, now's not the time to be doing that. Jesus is coming. Get in church. You know what? If y'all wait for me to be fluffy and happy all the time and just say, bless you, my child, and all that, forget it. It's not going to happen. Because if I see it, I will tell it to you. Because I love you. You're my peeps. You're my people. And you know that even on Facebook, every now and then I'll say a little something on Facebook. If I see it, I try not to. Lord knows. You know how many times I've erased a lot of stuff that I could have said, but I didn't. I hear Tammy out there saying, yes, amen, because she's probably felt the same way. So they had just seen this. But then when the storm comes, it says that the disciples did not consider the loaves and the fishes. So let me go back here. How could their hearts have become hardened right after seeing one of the biggest miracles in the Bible? Right there in Mark 6:52, it says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. So we see that the disciples' hearts were hardened because they did not consider the miracle that they just saw. Haven't we all done the same thing? God provides for us, gives us a miraculous breakthrough, and then we go get in another situation and we go, where are you, God? Oh, God, where are you? Like he's moved. He didn't move. He didn't go anywhere. The same God that brought you out of that one mess, he's going to bring you out of the next mess. But we got to stop and we got to consider. Just like Tommy was talking about that near escape of what they had. He had considered it. He considered it, and it was in his heart. And that's what we need to do. When God brings you through, don't just say, phew, that was a close one, and, you know, bye-bye, and I'm just going to go on my way to Walmart now. No, we need to stop and say, God, thank you. If it hadn't have been for your angels and for the blood of Jesus, that might have been me. Whew. I can't tell you how many near misses I've been in. And I won't say why, but anyway, you know. But Marianne told me one time she saw angels at the back of my car. And I'm like, they're probably wore out. Seriously, they are just wore out. But I am. Well, anyway. So the Bible says that their hearts were hardened. And like the disciples, we don't consider the miracles we've already seen. I don't want us to become jaded. We've seen some things happen in this church. We've seen people be healed. We've seen people have financial breakthroughs. Don't get comfortable. Don't take it for granted. Consider it. The word consider here means to study, to ponder, to examine it. And you may have thought that someone with a hardened heart was somebody who comes to church and they got their arms folded and they got this look like that. Oh, I've seen them people. Oh, they just need to be delivered. That's what they need. But we think, oh, you know, that's a hardened person right there. I'm not like them, Pastor. Well, you know what? The disciples walked with Jesus. Every day they walked with him. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal the sick and demons cast out. But their hearts were hardened. How could this be? How could they get hardened hearts? It's because they didn't consider what they had just saw. Whatever we focus on, and I think they've got this to put on the overhead. Yeah, thank you. Whatever we focus on, our hearts become sensitive to. And whatever we neglect, our hearts become hardened to. I want to say it again. Whatever we focus on, our hearts become sensitive to. And whatever we neglect, our hearts become hardened to. For instance, you may be very sensitive to healing, but you have neglected teaching on tithing. You may be very tender about healing and deliverance, but is your heart hardened about tithing? All right, move on. Okay, I see it. Woo! These disciples were focused on trying to stay alive in the middle of a storm. But it took their attention away from the miracle they had just witnessed, and it hardened their hearts toward God. Because you got to understand, Jesus told them, go across. He gave them his word. When he spoke the word, then they could go and the spoken word of God. Why? Because the stars are still hanging in the sky because of the spoken word of God. So when Jesus said, go across to the other side, they had this, hallelujah, hallelujah. They have the spoken word of God. But they got out in the middle of the storm and they started getting very scared and so amazed that when Jesus came walking on the water, the Bible says that he would have passed them on by, but what they called out to him, so he came in and got in the boat with them. And Jesus will do that. And let me tell you, when we get in the middle of this storm that's coming, Jesus is in your boat. He's right in the boat with you. Don't fear. He's right there with you. When you have a hardened heart, you see with your physical eyes, but you cannot see with your heart. You have physical ears, but you cannot hear the voice of God in your heart, and you cannot remember spiritual things. I'm just saying, that's what, you know, we people say, I wish I could hear from God. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because if you really wanted to hear from God, you'd hunker down somewhere and you say, God, I'm not going to leave here until I hear the voice of God, until I hear your voice. God, I need to hear your voice. I've had God to speak to me right in the middle of a storm, right when I didn't know what to do. It was almost as if his voice was coming behind me and I could hear him speak to me. But you know what? There are times so that we need to get aside somewhere and we just need to get, when I say hunker down, I'm talking about you go get your Bible and you get alone with God and you turn off the computer and you turn off the television and you turn off the cell phone and you say, God, I need to hear from you. I don't even want to take another step until you tell me what to do, because he has all of your answers. And in Matthew 13 and 15, Jesus describes the process. I thought this was an interesting term. Waxing gross. I've seen some gross people, but I have never. This is talking about candles. But anyway, Matthew 13 and 15, it says, for these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. The word waxing gross is descriptive of the method that was used to make candles. A wick. They would take a wick, and they would repeatedly dip it into melted wax and lift it back out. And each time it was lifted out, a layer of wax would harden around the wick. And this would be done hundreds of times until there was enough wax there to form a candle. And see, it's the same way with the heart. A heart can wax gross by repeatedly neglecting the things of God. Layer after layer of neglect builds up in sensitivity to the things of God as we focus our attention on something other than Him. God may be speaking to you about something, and He tells you, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there, and you harden your heart. But I want to go there, and I will go there. That's hardening your heart. Be careful of that. God may tell you, don't say that, don't say it. And we harden our heart. We say, but I want to say it, and you do. I'm telling you, be careful of that, because when you do that repeatedly, your heart becomes to a place, your spiritual condition comes to a place where you don't hear from God anymore. I don't ever want to be like that. I want to hear the voice of God. If all your focus is on the things of the world throughout the week, and then you only think about the things of God on Sunday or on Wednesday night, you might have a hardened heart. I'm not suggesting that we all become monks and live in a monastery somewhere, because the Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. And there's too many Christians in the salt shaker. Is that true? I have a salt shaker at home, and my sister laughs at me because I try not to use too much salt, but I was somewhere. I don't know what the world they were thinking in that restaurant, but they brought me out some old bland food, and I'm just like, where is the salt? Where is it? And Gil's like, you know, calm down sort of thing. And I got the salt shaker, and I just started pouring it. But if I could have sent the salt shaker right there and said, that is a really pretty little bottle. You know, and look at all that nice white salt in there. But it's not doing me any good. I need the salt out of the salt shaker. You are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus said. And we need to get out of the salt. This is a salt shaker right here. This is the church. We need to come out of the salt shaker and into the world. They need our seasoning. We got flavor. At the same time, we need to be set apart from this world. I've said before, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. The average Christian today is watching the same television shows, reading the same books, and going to the same movies as an unbeliever. Is this the way it should be? We need to be set apart. Be ye holy. Come out from among them, Jesus said. If people can't even tell that you're different from the sinner, What good are you? I'm just saying. If somebody can't tell you, then you say, well, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. And you may even have a pin on you or a big bumper sticker on your car. I love Jesus. But nobody can tell the difference between you and a heathen. What good are you? Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Be you holy. I can't believe I just said, what good are you? But you know what I mean. You know. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man, or as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Change the way you think, and you will change your experience of life. If you neglect the things of the world and focus on God, yeah, if you want to harden your heart to anything, harden your heart to the things of the world. And I don't mean your family. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that are pulling you away from God. Harden your heart to those things. And then let your heart be tender. Can I just be real honest with you? I got under conviction getting ready for this sermon. I had to stop and repent before I could preach it to you. God dealt with my heart. Because, you know, I'm not going to get up here and tell you what to do if I don't repent. Because God is watching me, and as I was studying and preparing for this, my heart God was touching my heart that there, I see some areas that I need to be more careful about, that I need to harden my heart to some things that are pulling me away from God. And, you know, I'm so busy, and I'm very busy, but I don't ever need to be too busy for God. And yes, I pray and I read the Bible, but you know what? I need more from him. So therefore, probably what I need to do is what I'm telling you, and that is get away and hunker down somewhere, get a hold of the Word of God even more, and pray and read it until I say, God, I need everything you've got for me. I need it. I want it. I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to be satisfied, and I believe I've told the Lord this, until I see this church being filled up with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I'm talking about speaking in tongues. If you're too polished for us, this may not be the church for you. Yeah, I said it. But you know what? Because we are Pentecostal. And we are going to speak in tongues in this church. And we're going to give the interpretation. And there's going to be word of knowledge and word of wisdom. It's already happening. We're already seeing this. But I want more. I want more. Precious Holy Ghost, I want more of you in this church. And I hope that you're not satisfied. I want to see our teenagers filled up with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. I want to see our children back there filled with the Holy Ghost. The reason a lot of people aren't experiencing the power of God isn't because they don't believe, and it's not because they don't have faith. It's because they are neglecting the things of God and they're too occupied with the affairs of this world, with the things that are going on. The cure for a hardened heart. Anybody want to know what your cure is to get rid of your hardened heart? Well, a few people do. Okay, well, here we go. The cure for a hardened heart is prayer and fasting. Oh, my. Did you hear that? When the disciples were trying to cast a demon out of a boy that was having seizures, Jesus told them they couldn't do it. Now, don't you think it's strange? Because here they had been sent out by twos, right? And they had laid hands on the sick and they were healed. They saw people being delivered of demons because remember they came back and they said, Jesus, we saw demons being cast out in your name. We saw this happening. So they had done this. This wasn't something new to them. They had cast out demons in the name of Jesus. But for some reason, when they came to this little boy, they tried to cast a demon out of him and it didn't go. Now what did Jesus say? He said, this thing comes out by prayer and fasting. What was he talking about? He said, because of your unbelief. Unbelief. There are some people that if we would just get a little closer to the Lord, we'd get rid of all the unbelief in our life, get rid of that. And God, I believe that we'd start seeing miracles pop up all over this church. I'm not kidding you. And when I talk about prayer and fasting, I'm not talking about, yes, if you can fast 2, 3, 4 days, go for it. Drink water, drink something, but fast. If you can't go that long, then I challenge you to fast a day or fast a meal or fast your desserts. Sometimes I fast my Pepsi. Fast something. And if you can't even do that, if that's too hard for you, maybe you're diabetic and that would be too hard for you, then this might even be harder. I challenge you to fast your computer. You say, I don't really look at it that much. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Don't even try that stuff with me. And you might say, and another thing you can fast is television. And I have people telling me all the time, I don't really watch it that much. Yes, you do. I could ask you questions and you would know it. You may not admit it, but you know it. Fast, you know, I heard Joyce Meyer say one time that she fasted television for 40 days. Dave would be in there watching Westerns and all this kind of stuff, and she would just kind of walk by like, you know. But she would not watch television for 40 days. And the day that the 40-day fast ended, a year from that very date, she went on television. And she's all over the world now. God honors your fasting. Set aside, but don't just set aside fasting of your television and your computer and then go do something else crazy. Take that time and get alone with God. Teenagers, this is for you too. This is not just for the girl. This is for everybody. Get alone with God. The thing is, right now, you can come right into his presence. There may not be a day. I'm telling you, right now, we can just come right into his presence. But I'm telling you that Jesus is coming soon. And I hope everybody in here is ready. Because if you're not, right now, it's easy to be saved. Right now, you could come up here and get gloriously saved and be ready, as ready for heaven as if you were already there. But if you come to this church one day and there's nobody here and the rapture has taken place, it is not going to be so easy for you to get saved. If at all possible. I'm going to finish by saying, we've been at the beginning of my sermon, we talked about storms. And we know that there's another storm coming. There's a storm coming today. And I heard on the news this morning with my own two ears, they said it is the second worst storm in history. Let me ask you, how many of you are preparing for this storm? I mean, I have. I went out and bought some extra stuff. I mean, like water, batteries. Y'all not preparing? Okay. All right. Let me ask again, anybody preparing for the storm? I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, that you're going to go into a barracks or something. I'm just saying you're just getting a little bit of extra bread, a little bit of extra milk, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, there's probably some people out there, and I actually heard a woman on television this morning, that people are saying, oh, those weather forecasters, they've said this kind of thing before and nothing happened. So there are people out there that are not preparing for the storm. Like I said, I'm not expecting, you know, nobody expects you to go, you know, buck wild. But at the same time, it doesn't hurt to prepare for, they say, the second worst storm in the history. So, but some people are saying, I've seen it before. This kind of thing has been talked about before. And let me tell you, some people are saying the same thing about the return of Jesus Christ. They say things. I heard a man say to me just a couple of weeks ago, I've heard that Jesus was coming back all my life, and he hasn't come yet, and he was laughing when he said it. And I'm telling you what, it's just like the weather forecasters. They're saying this is a bad storm. Get ready, because there's something coming that's big. I don't know if it has anything to do. I don't know if it's going to be big or not. I don't really know. But I'm telling you what, I'm telling you, listen to me this morning. There will come a day when one of the biggest events that the world has ever seen, the return of Jesus Christ, it is going to happen. I guarantee it. And we need to be ready. Because we don't know the day or the hour, but the Bible says we would know the season. And I'm going to share something else with you, that there are scientists, someone was sharing with me that there are scientists that in the year 2002 predicted, which is 10 years ago, that in the year 2012, there were going to be some things happening. I'm not even going to tell you all of it, but let me just say, it was a little scary. It was a little scary. I don't know if all their predictions are going to come to pass, but there's been things predicted about, this is scientists talking, there have been things predicted about the year 2012, and we are nearing the end of 2012. And I'm just saying to you, I don't know when Jesus is coming. It wouldn't shock me if he came today. Now is not the time for your heart to be hardened. Listen to me today. Now is not the time for you to say, well, I'll go to church if I feel like going to church. I got up this morning, someone might say, my big toe hurt, so I guess I'm just going to go back to bed. You need to just get over yourself, and you need to get into church. You need to get in your car and come to church and shake it off. Because I believe when you get into church, God will heal you. Keep your eyes and your ears open. Be tender before the Lord. Be sensitive. Push away from the table. Push away from the computer a little while this week. Push away from the television. Even if it's an hour, just an hour. And you take that time and you say, Jesus, I just want to spend this time with you. And you know what would be even better? If you spent that time with him and don't ask him for anything. Just spend time with him saying, I just want to get over here, and I just want to kneel down, And I just want to tell you, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I just want to tell you, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping me all these years. Thank you, Lord, that when I didn't know what to do, you brought me out. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you're the Alpha and you're the Omega. You're the beginning, you're the end. You're the first, you're the last. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider. You're Jehovah Shammah. You're my healer. Lord, I just thank you for who you are. And you start praising him like that, and don't ask him for anything. And I'm telling you what, I believe with all my heart, the presence of Almighty God himself will come right into the room where you are. Whew. Everyone stand. I don't want any moving around right now, please. And I just want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. This wasn't an easy sermon, but I want us to be careful. If the disciples, if their hearts could be hardened after seeing a miracle, is there any area of your life that could be hardened? Maybe things you've neglected about God. He's been talking to you about some things, but you've been pushing his voice away, and you think, well, that's not God, that's just me. In your heart, though, you know it's God. And I'm telling you this morning, actually, what I would really like to do is open up this altar, and I want everyone that will, everybody, to come up here and search your heart. Buddy, if you would put on Agnes Deum for me, I'd appreciate that. And I want everyone to just come up here, take a few minutes, search your heart, ask God, if my heart is hardened in any area of my life, please forgive me. And make me sensitive, make me tender before you again. Everyone, if you will, come right now.